nice little Jurassic Park music from John Williams to mark the passing of Richard Attenborough, who passed away, I believe, at the age of 90 years old yesterday. Lovely choice by Dave Hopper, our musical engineer this morning. We welcome you to our program. It is very nice to be back. Let me introduce the panel to you. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. It's been 3 weeks since I've seen you. It's very nice to see you. I've missed you. You put the microphone in your face.
How do you do? And I have to say, Joe, we are really glad you're back.
Well,
Thanks so much.
Very nice to be back. Thank you. And, Ray is here. Ray's been here. Ray was off
Did a terrific job. And then back.
And then that's good. And then Rosemary Armeo, University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter, was gone for a couple months, and she's back.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. It is good.
It seems like you
came back and you got right into it.
Jumped right in. Lots of news while I was gone.
Yes. She did. The phones lit up.
I noticed that. Well, it's wonderful to be here. Wonderful to have you all back and to be back and let's get to what we're here to
get to.
That's right. And talk about the news of the day. There is a lot going on, as there has been throughout these quote unquote dog days of summer. So let's talk about Peter Theo Curtis, who was abducted in 2012, who was released over the weekend, held for nearly 2 years in a prison run by an affiliate of Al-Qaeda in Syria. An American freelance writer was unexpectedly freed on Sunday following extensive mediation by Qatar, the tiny Gulf Emirate, and United States ally that has successfully negotiated the release of numerous Western hostages in exchange for multi-million dollar ransoms. Relatives of the freed hostage, Peter Theo Curtis, 45 years old, said that while they were not privy to the exact terms, they were told that no ransom had been paid, yet a surprise liberation by the Qaeda affiliate came less than a week after the decapitation of another American journalist, which I know you talked about at great length last week.
And who, James, by the way, Foley. Joe, for whatever it's worth, they think they have, according to the tabloids this morning, they think they have identified the guy who did the...
I believe the BBC broke that story.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, as to... And we can talk a little bit about that, of who is responsible for the for that action. So what do we make of this? And I guess, Rosemary, I'll go to you first because of your work with international journalists, but how many do we have a number of how many are in captivity or are being held captive?
If there is, I'm afraid I don't know it. There's at least one other American, a Floridian, who's in the hands of the same group that decapitated James Foley. Mm-hmm. Yeah, ISIS. This is not the same group, as I've understood the stories.
I think that's the whole point here.
Exactly.
You know, it's not only that they're negotiating with us, but they may be sending a message of, we're not like the other guys, which is really very important.
That would be interesting. Of course, the other role, and speak to this, is Qatar had a big part in the negotiations that freed this guy today. So Qatar has been working with the United States, it seems, in talking with the people in Syria that we... these horrible groups that we have to deal with.
And those who pay the piper often have the persuasive vote in some of these things. So Qatar is giving money... Or as you say, Qatar is giving money.
Cutters, other people say it. Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that a whiskey?
We don't even know how to say the names of these places, and we have to.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
You know, Syria is interesting in all of this. Mm-hmm. Now, Assad is he suddenly looking at a rehabilitated image here because of the horrific nature of what we've seen out of the IS this morning? 6:30 or something, our time, the foreign minister, I believe, of Syria did a long press conference, which was covered live on Al Jazeera America, and obviously translated. But it seemed to be almost, I told you so. In other words, our regime has been fighting these bad guys for all this time, and now the West has finally figured it out. That's the gist I got from watching this morning.
And by the way, and I'll get into terrific trouble for this, he may not be wrong, all that wrong. In other words, I've said from the very beginning, yes, these are terrible people, the Assads and, you know, some of these other guys. But in fact, there's a certain amount of stability that you can expect from the strong men, even though they can be oppressive, that you're not going to find with guys who cut people's heads off.
America keeps making the same decision between the crazy rebels and the oppressive regimes. We've done that in the Middle East since, what, the 40s. We did it in Egypt. We've done it in all of these countries. I will say this again. I say it repeatedly. The United States needs to figure out what we want there and how we go about getting it instead of making these emergency decisions. Now we're going to fight ISIS. Now we're going to go back into Iraq. It's just as ad hoc as it's been for the past 20 or 30 years.
It's as if there, I mean, you say we have to figure out what we're doing there, but there may not be a good answer. And that's the terrible part.
I think that's obvious. There is no good answer. We are not going to get the scenario we most want in the Middle East.
And that is?
George W. Bush. That we would go into Iraq, people there would welcome us as liberators, and we would set up a whole new democratic regime across the place. Didn't happen. Won't happen.
Correct.
Didn't happen in Egypt either. So, but the role of Syria, I think you're right. That's interesting to me. I mean, I think Hussein must love this because it's reminding the West that you don't have a good choice here.
And it's putting the fact that he used chemical weapons on his own people certainly on the back burner.
What is that
minds.
Compared to a beheading? Yeah,
well, it's
absolutely.
Pretty bad.
I spoke with a friend who's done a lot of work, an American who's done a lot of work on law reform in this area, and her view is that ISIS is not the terror that is being painted to us, that it's made a wide sweep through the two countries, but it's in areas that are not big cities, it's very backwards, and it's very Sunni, so of course they're going to welcome in like the Sunni extremists. They're going to say, yeah, come on in. It's not like they're battling
I
all
think
the
that's
way.
Patently a ridiculous statement. In other words, they're chopping off Christians' heads. I mean, how much worse can you possibly
and not only,
be?
And by the way, Ray, not only Christians' heads,
but
a lot of heads.
I'm using that as an example.
One Christian, by the way.
This is a very...
Oh, really?
They've
just
been
one?
Killing their own people. They've been
well,
killing
that's
Syrians.
What I just said. But let me just say, Ray, I'm sorry about this, but I agree with you.
With me or with you?
Oh,
my
Ray.
God.
Yeah.
The earth has turned.
Yeah.
Don't worry. It'll turn back.
So do you wish to clarify at all? Or?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what I'm saying is I find this really interesting because my view, even expressed last week, was ISIS is a whole different thing. Isn't that how the American authorities have described it? We've never seen something like this. We must act. And so people who have been opposed to involvement in Iraq are saying, well, maybe we better reconsider it. And I really like thinking slowly the whole Obama way of figuring out what we want. And is that really true? What is the real threat of ISIS? Beheading kind of, as you two point out, it's like, whoa, they're beheading Christians. We got to do something. Maybe not. Maybe that's exactly what they're trying to do is to force America back in.
To what end, though? In other words, they forced us back in, and now we're basically taking out their positions, at least by the Mosul Dam. I don't know what else the airstrikes are doing, but... Do they want that?
Do they want to engage in America because they believe in jihadism and they're fighting a war against a terrible enemy? I don't know. I don't know their motives any more than you do. I just think that we're being whiplashed by emotion rather than the cold, hard calculation of what's going on there and what we can gain or what we will lose.
I think that we are dealing with a far more cynical enemy than it's not our enemy, but a far more cynical entity than a purely religious one.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
The ransom requests or demands.
Right.
The killing of other Muslims. There is simply something, you don't want to be pejorative and say evil about it, but it looks that way to this Catholic.
And I think that their methods are designed to make Westerners think that way in terms of evil and revenge and we must act. And I don't think we should be doing that. I think we have to be as coldly calculating as they are. We don't behead people. We don't do the evil back. But I really don't want to see us go storming back in there. That's what I've concluded.
We'll talk more about the story and get back to what Alan was talking about earlier about the British intelligence that is coming out regarding the death of James Foley. We will talk about that, and we'll integrate your letters as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after this short break.
Support comes from Woodstock New Paltz Art and Crafts Fair, Labor Day weekend, Ulster County Fairgrounds in New Paltz. Handcrafted, juried artisans and craftspeople from across America, furniture, architectural crafts, and more. quailhollow.com. Haydenville Woodworking and Design. For over 25 years, a small group of artisans designing renovations, additions, new homes, custom cabinets, and furniture in the Pioneer Valley. HaydenvilleWD.com. And Cafe Capriccio, offering dining and catering with Tuscan cuisine in Albany, New York, and Neapolitan cuisine in Saratoga Springs. CafeCapriccio.com for reservations.
We all nailed it. We knew it was
everyone
the greatest
was wrong.
Game.
Yeah, everyone had a wrong answer.
During the break, we play quizzes. That's yeah. Very fun. We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. We have letters before we continue on the subject. Go, Alan.
Okay, so John says, Catholics did some rather evil things during the Crusades. And then he said they're chopping off heads of any group sect with whom they disagree, not just the heads of Christians.
True.
Tom says, I don't mean to be insensitive, but didn't we see this stuff, beheadings, et cetera, in the 70s and 80s? And Ryan said, why haven't we constructed some kind of plan that allows for Middle Eastern culture? For example, a country for the Kurds, very reminiscent of what happened after World War I.
Mm-hmm. Which begat World War II, so we better be careful.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, I mean, not to overanalyze that last letter, but we're not good about constructing any kind of plan, are we?
Yeah,
I mean,
that's my point.
It took a long time to get rid of the Shah of Iran, I can tell you that.
We're not real good on that whole plan thing, I don't think.
Well, the other thing is it our responsibility to plan for the Middle East?
Yes.
And that's the question.
Yes, because we're involved in the Middle East and because there's oil there. So the answer to that is simply yes.
Wait.
What do you mean by that?
Well, we have interest there.
Well, yes, but there are interests and there are interests. There are good interests. There are bad interests. There are greedy interests. So when you say yes, that definitively.
The question was, do we have an obligation to plan that?
That's right.
And I'm meaning if you know that there is an issue of either journalists being beheaded, journalists being held, other issues that are taking place, how do you plan for those possibilities? Right?
Indeed.
Okay, so, I mean, want the government planning for the possibility of journalists getting hurt because their answer would be to keep them out.
Yeah.
And these journalists need to go in there. I'm sorry that he is killed, but I am so happy that there are people who are willing to take a risk and sacrifice themselves for this because we need to know what's going on.
Intelligence officials from Britain's MI5 and MI6 agencies say they know the identity of Jihad John, the man responsible for the beheading of American journalist James Foley, according to reports from news outlets in the UK. According to the Times of London and other sources, Jihad John is believed to be Abdel Majed Abdel Barry, a 23-year-old man from London who went to Syria to join Islamist forces last year. Barry was an aspiring hip-hop artist who performed under the name El Jinni when he still lived in London. His music has even been played on BBC Radio, and there are several YouTube videos of his performances online.
So bizarre.
It's believed those videos could have been used to match Barry's voice to the voice of the man in the video of Foley's beheading.
Mm-hmm. And his family, I think, were jihadists also, as I remember reading
Egyptian-born man, his father, who was accused of taking part in the 1998 U.S. embassy bombings in Tanzania as well as Kenya.
But let's not think that this is some wacko who was operating independently. He couldn't have done it if it were independent. They were holding him clearly. They decided that this was the right thing. So getting the right guy, yeah, you want to punish him, you want to get him. But I really don't think that's the answer here. I don't think that's what this is about. I think that you know, the ISIS people decided that this is what they were going to do.
The
you look puzzled, Ray.
No, not at all. No. I'm just thinking about failed artists and problems in history. Hitler,
yes.
Lousy painter. Fidel Castro, lousy second baseman. This guy, a hip-hop artist,
we don't know
unsuccessful.
That it would, yeah, unsuccessful.
So, is there something to be said for failed artists and bad things happening?
Okay, that's as bizarre as the fact that we have a hip-hop artist beheading American journalists in the desert.
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
It's like a novel.
Just throwing it out there.
Just saying.
Yeah.
There are many, many, many failed people in all walks of life, and I don't think it necessarily means that your next step is to become...
I can't draw a house.
No.
No.
But, I mean, you could tune a banjo, so you're halfway home, right?
Maybe.
More or less.
Yeah. When's the next time you tune that banjo, by the way?
Oh, yeah. Saturday night at the...
Oh, nice segue.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. I'm in awe.
Well, you know, the Berkshire Ramblers, which sold it out the last time, and I'm only saying it because I know I'm going to get all these calls from saying, I give money to WAMC, and I want to get in to this on Saturday night at the Guthrie Center. You know, call now, 413-528-1955. That'll do it.
All right. And that is for the Berkshire Ramblers at the Guthrie Center on Saturday night.
It's what it is.
All right.
It's going to be a terrific thing.
Wonderful, wonderful. So don't forget it.
You're going to tune up for that one?
Yes.
Good.
The answer to the question is yes, I'm going to try.
All right. My dog has fleas.
Let us take a break. We will be back and continue.
What's that crawling out of your head?
Many other issues to talk about this morning.
We're trivializing beheadings. We're going to fleas. Oh, my gosh. Ooh. I apologize.
I think we're trivializing.
No, we're just doing his
we're moving on
for his
gig.
It's supposed to be pitter-patter.
Well, it's filling. It's mentioning the gig.
Yeah, a little bit of a plug at the end. That's all right. I don't think that's trivializing anything. I think we took the subject very seriously, didn't we?
We'll see what our listeners.
Yeah. All right. Well,
now that you've set them up.
Now,
yeah.
Rosemary.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Wow. Influence the jury. 1-800. No. What are
no,
we doing?
Do
roundtable at WAMC.org. That's how you do it.
Roundtable
at WAMC.org. We'll be back after this short break. Getting news in this morning that there is an active shooter incident reported at Fort Lee Army Installation in Virginia. They have posted it on their website. The installation is on lockdown, and I'm sure we will hear more about that in the news coming up at the top of the hour, and we'll report more on that as that story breaks this morning. We're going to continue on with other issues in just a moment, but before we do that, we'll get to our letters for this morning.
Okay, Ryan, having served in the military, the first thing we are taught is not to point a weapon at someone unless the intention is to kill. The police don't seem to get that. Who's training them? And then we heard from Jay, who says, during the 3 a.m. BBC Worldwide Newsday cast on WAMC, the presenter interviewed a gentleman, Elliot Giggins, about his use of web photo recognition sites and web satellite mapping sites. The outcome was that he and his associates have identified the mountaintop city where the ISIS, ISL, are located. Mr. Giggin alleged he told U.S. investigators, who declined his information. Now, let's assume that this guy is for real and that he's not wacko because, you know, police departments and others hear from people a lot. Who tell them things that, you know, are dismissible. But let's assume for a second that it's true and the U.S. declined to take any action about his information. What could that mean? You know,
that we already had the information.
And are not using it?
Well, maybe we did use it.
Yeah, I mean, what's the action required? We go in and bomb the heck out of it? A source says so.
I was just reacting to Ray, who said maybe we already had that information. So if we had that information, we knew where they were. There were captives there. You know, it's an interesting question that gets raised, and And Jim says, it seems to me that the whole Hobby Lobby predicament is one more reason why it's we should take the company out of the situation and go to a single-payer health care. Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
And Tom says, the job of being a cop is made more difficult by cops themselves when they make it an us-against-them world. If they did the job smart, far fewer problems. And Ryan says, oh no, we already read what Ryan said. Okay, and Jules says, ISIS extremists have been called animals, but animals don't commit the depraved acts which seem to be the norm for these individuals. When men give themselves over to depravity, they lose their humanity.
Mm-hmm. We welcome your letters as well, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. We have time for one more topic. I will let you guys decide. Do you want to talk about the new poll of Democrats leading the battle for Congress, sort of, or the quake in Napa?
Quake.
Okay, go. We had a major...
Why does anybody live in California? This is so scary.
It is.
$1 billion worth of damage, yeah. And it was not no. a huge quake.
It's terrible.
Well, 6.0.
6.0.
That's pretty. 6.0
is very high.
But it's not. Yeah. It's not. It's far from 10.
But 6 is a heavy earthquake.
And no casualties. I mean, that's the thing we have to we are San Francisco and that area is becoming built for this in the sense of that. You have an early morning quake, and
you
have no casualties given the...
But you still have broken gas lines.
Absolutely.
And
you have $1 billion worth of damage.
And 120 people injured.
Yeah.
Why live anywhere, though? We could get it here. There was, in the 1800s, a massive quake in the Mississippi Valley, I believe. And
do you mean here, Mississippi Valley?
But
you
what I'm saying is it was enormous. It was felt in New England, but in the 1830s, there wasn't a great deal to damage. But... everywhere, whether you're near the super volcano.
We know what those plates are in California. And I agree with Rosemary this time. And that is, why in the world would you live somewhere where you know it's inevitable?
And by the way, to support my idea that it wasn't that big, the historic 1906 Templar was 500 times larger.
Yeah. By the way, I love the use of the word Templar.
That's a good word. Ross Stein, a geophysicist at the U.S. Geological Survey, said this was truly small compared to what California has experienced in recorded history.
And I maintain,
in New York, you're going back to what, the 18th century?
I don't know.
And I maintain that 6 is still a very large earthquake.
I mean, you've had massive casualties and death at 4 and 5, on the Richter scale. So I don't know that.
Well, that's true, and in places that, as you say, are not as ready for California for the big one.
An interesting aspect to this one, and maybe this is common nowadays, but I believe the early warning system gave 10 or 15 seconds notice of this. So technology, it may be a tiny step. But technology now moving a little bit in the direction, 15 seconds is enough to get you out of a building if it's a small building.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then a tree will fall on you. But the point is technology moving slowly toward maybe predicting these things. So that's good.
It's also, it was rather isolated to the Napa area.
But that was surprising to many people who thought they were in Napa, not in or right next to San Francisco, so they were okay. The Silver Oak Winery lost, tons of wine fell off of shelves from one of its cellars.
Certainly.
I mean, they were not planning for.
So, in other words, you're saying there were casualties.
And there are plenty of people who guessed wrong and are saying, you know, we could have had the insurance, but we didn't because it was too expensive.
Yeah.
And I want to get back to something that did you say? I forget whether it was Rosemary Allen, but I think of using the term the big one. We always hear that when we talk about the West Coast as a whole, but certainly California and specifically San Francisco, of the big one. And what is that? And what does that? What do we know geologically about that?
Basically,
that
when California is an island, we know the big one has hit. That's how it works, Joe.
I resisted all jokes on this. I used to fool around and say Idaho, you know, Western Idaho is a good place if you want beachfront. But I have decided not to tell those jokes anymore.
You know,
because it's insensitive.
Doesn't it make you so happy to be an Easterner, though? I don't. I love visiting California, but man, I want to get out of there fast when I'm there.
Do you?
Yeah.
The bedrock or whatever it is. Do you remember a few years back when the Virginia had a very D.C. area had a very rare.
Sure.
Yes.
Was it 5 or close to 6?
The,
yes.
The Washington Monument was cracked then, right?
The whole East Coast reverberated.
We felt it.
I was
here.
In the newsroom and it rattled my desk so much that I was actually nauseous. I mean, you could feel it here, and that was only.
Are you usually nauseous at your desk?
Only after this hour. It was a 5-something, and because of the geography or the geology of this
area.
Part of the country, mm-hmm. it reverberated.
Wow!
And it was a different feeling completely. So don't be so sure that we won't get it here.
Well, we could get it here, but you're a lot sure you're going to get it in California because we know about the plates.
I mean, certainly the science dictates that there is more of a chance there. But it is, it's scary stuff. We thank you very much for being a part of this hour. We'll be back tomorrow and talk more about the news of the day. In the meantime, we welcome your letters, roundtable at wamc.org. Rosemary, Ray, Alan, great to see you, and we'll be back and do it again tomorrow.
Welcome back.
Okay.
Thank you very much. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.